Meanwhile, let me give the second example of the way in which the team of order members can function in the world, the example of spiritual community, in the narrower sense of spiritually committed individuals living together under the same roof. We don't usually live in communities, of course. We usually live in families. Basically, these consist of parents and children, or even nowadays, sometimes, one parent and one child. Families didn't used to be so small. In the old days, they were generally much bigger and included not only parents and children, but unmarried aunts, grandparents, distant cousins, plus various dependents. This is still the case in some parts of the world, especially in the East. This is what we call the extended family. But in most modern Western countries, families are very unextended indeed. They're so small as to be claustrophobic, so that there's very limited scope for personal relations, and what relations there are within this very tiny family group tends to be rather overloaded, and therefore tend to produce psychological tensions and even to explode, sending the bits flying in all directions. So what is the solution? The solution, which more and more people seem to be adopting, is for people to live in communities, especially in spiritual communities, communities based on devotion to a common spiritual ideal. In the case of the FWBO, this means that one has a group, say, of order members living together, plus mitras and friends, living together on a basis of common commitment to the three jewels, common commitment to spiritual development. And the number of order members and others are actually living together in this way. I don't know exactly how many communities there are. There must be at least 10 or 12 of them, mostly in the London area. And they represent one particular kind of collective presence of the FWBO in the world, or one particular aspect of the new world. Now, even spiritual communities can be of several kinds. They can be located either in the town or city or in the countryside. They can be mixed, that is to say, consisting of both men and women, with or without children, or they can be single-sex communities consisting of either men or women. And on the whole, from a spiritual point of view, we found in the course of the last few years that the single-sex communities are definitely the more successful. Now, the advantages of living in a spiritual community are obvious. One can enjoy the regular companionship of other spiritually committed people. One can relate at the deepest level of one's being. And this is very stimulating, very inspiring, but at the same time, very demanding. One isn't allowed to get away with very much in such a community. And secondly, one can live more economically. One can buy, for instance, foodstuffs in bulk. One can pool resources. And at a very ordinary, everyday level, one can share the use of things like refrigerator, car, washing machine, etc., and also share household chores. This, of course, applies to communities in general. And if there are children in the community, then one can share the babysitting. Three, spiritual community can also function as a kind of informal centre. One can give outside friends and visitors a glimpse of a new way of life, even a glimpse of a new world. So I've given two examples, examples of the way in which teams of order members and others push out extensions of the FWBO into the world. The examples of businesses and spiritual communities in the narrower sense.